Welcome to the Motoring Podcast, a Mitsubishi Shogun review special edition. Hello, I'm Alan.
Hello, I'm Andrew.
Your turn tonight.
It is. Mm-hmm. This one was with me, funnily enough.
So you at one point earlier in the year had a Mitsubishi Shogun.
Yep, a long wheelbase, 3.2 DI DC SG5 Auto, which, if anyone doesn't know what a Shogun is, one of those big, massive 4x4s, not an SUV, this is a 4x4, those big ones. No, bigger than that, bigger.
Is it shaped like a brick?
Yes.
Oh, that one, okay.
Yes, it's got the big spare wheel on the back.
Mm-hmm. Like proper off-roaders.
So this was a top-of-the-range Shogun.
That's the SG5 bit, I guess.
Yes. And it had 187 horses.
Mm-hmm.
It came, the one I had came in Eiger Grey, which is metallic grey.
Yeah.
Which looked wonderful on it, to be fair. It was a really good, flattering colour, that was. It is supposed to do 30.4 combined MPG. I was varying between 23 to 28 in the couple of weeks I had it for.
Yeah.
In less good news, it's a VD band L.
Yes, I noticed this in your notes. So do you want to run through what that really means to people?
So it emits 245 grams per kilometer, which means, steady yourselves. For the first year, it's going to cost you £885.
In tax alone?
Yeah.
You know what? That's more expensive than my Mazda RX-8 was.
Yeah, that's
That's
a bit of a kicker, but to be frank, I wasn't surprised. Because it is a big old-school 4x4.
Well, they've been around for a long... As a vehicle, it's been around for a long time. It must have been the same... The same
30, you know, body style. Years.
Well, the same body style, that sort of Mark III Shogun, that must have been out at least 10 years.
Well, the last time they did some major facelifty stuff was 2012.
Yeah,
and then that before was a facelift. That, I think it was 2006, where it looked quite similar to the one that looks now, how it looks now.
Yeah, so that was when
more
it came out.
Technology
yeah.
that was updated in 2012. Mm-hmm. So, well, the one I had cost, on the road, brand new, will cost £40,299 of your English pounds,
mm-hmm.
plus £650 because of colour tax.
Right.
And I had a quick shifty before we came on to record this, and typical contract hire leasing is in the region of £700 a month.
Ooh, but these from memory, these depreciate particularly rapidly.
Well, they are almost this was a point I was going to make about this. The show I looked for equivalent vehicles to this,
mm-hmm.
and there is nothing within 10 to 15 grand of the competition that is spec'd the same as this.
So by competition, you're talking...
Toyota Land Cruiser is 15 grand more.
Wow! Okay.
And I think that is a very good judge against it, because otherwise you're looking at Discovery, which is
more of a
luxury...
Well, the new one is definitely, and it starts at about 45 or 47, isn't it?
No, I think they're more than that.
I was being.
That's where they start, though.
Yeah, that's starting,
and get the equivalent.
Yeah,
top of the range spec, which may not be quite the same. You know, there may be more on top for the Discovery. So for the money, though.
Yeah. Well, you're getting a lot of metal to start with.
Well, yes, you're getting almost a postcode.
Yes, it's getting on for that. So I'm assuming, given that was the case, given it is big enough and all these kind of things, that it was big enough for the windscreen hoard. I mean, what did you What did you do with it? Go on.
We left where we live and we drove off to Pembrokeshire for a week, and then down to the Gower for a week and back up again to where we live. So it did all a mix of routes, all variety of roads, and took away 2 weeks worth of stuff, and it swallowed it with ease. To the point where, you know, the people who've listened to the show will know that we're a family of five with three young kids, and therefore that entails a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And I was able to just pull the luggage cover over the top. Not a problem. Nothing even pushed up into it.
Really?
There's much space.
And but now yours was a seven seater, so I imagine there's not that much space when you're using all the seven seats.
Well, I was surprised because I did actually have to. There was a short journey that I did need to utilize all seven seats, and I was surprised at how much space there was, particularly if you got a bit clever with how you pack things. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's nowhere near. You know, you wouldn't think that you're going to take 2 weeks worth of stuff and use seven seats.
Yeah,
but for a day out or something like that, you could have everybody, you could have bags of wellies and coats and all that stuff, and people would be able to sit there no problem at all. Mm-hmm. So I was very surprised at that.
So would it be possible for grown-ups to sit in the back seat, or are they little people?
Not really. It's more little people.
It's little people.
In the very back. Yeah, in the very back.
Okay.
If you think along the lines of the old Volvo and Mercedes estate type seats, it's more akin to, it's not that exactly, but it's more akin to that than being set of seven seats.
Okay, but they face forward though, just to double check. Okay. So I imagine most of the time there were just the five of you. So for the little ones, was there I imagine they weren't all squashed together.
Well, in the back, it was interesting because they had to go to quite a bit of effort to start hitting each other. They were that far apart.
Okay.
Which was nice, actually, as a driver. And they couldn't kick me in the seat.
I was about to say, could they kick the back of your seat? Because I know that's one thing that used to drive my car.
So that was good as well. The floor in there, there's just the merest hint of a tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
It's effectively not there. So getting in and out dead easy, because there was side steps.
Mm-hmm.
Running the full length.
A little bit of
chromey blingy. There was a few touches of chrome on the exterior, actually, but not. It wasn't excessive, and it actually sat well with the grey.
Right, okay, cool. What about the inside? Because I've seen some of the pictures, and the leather seats, they did not look the most practical colour ever.
No. If I was specking it myself, I would not have cream leather.
Not with three kids,
because that would show the marks pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's leather, it's wipeable, so there is that.
Yeah.
But I would go for the dark seats. Although having the cream leather seats and having the cream headliner made it feel really very airy, and it already felt airy because there's lots of glass. Because this is an old school. I'm
truck.
Going to keep using this
You've
phrase.
You've got to say truck.
And I don't mean it demeaningly either, but it harkens back to a previous generation design. There's no let's make the line of the windows taper up into almost a postbox slit or anything like that. That is not what they're trying to do with this. It is lots of glass all around. And the one we had a tilt and slide sunroof as well, which really helped. Make the interior even more cavernous feeling than it already was.
Right, yeah.
So.
Okay, so what about up? I mean, we've talked about the back a bit. What about up front?
Lots of room.
Okay.
As you would imagine, lots of room. But you were sitting up. Exactly, phrases.
It's not sit up and beg.
No, you were no, God, no. No, I'm not going to use that cliche. No, but it wasn't that anyway. Some SUVs have you sitting low down. This didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You sat up and you sat in the commanding position of this vehicle, which is in a very commanding height anyway.
So what you mean is instead of... I know what you mean. It's sometimes when you get into off-roaders of various types, and then the Toyota Hilux used to be like this, you got up, but you actually sat in a very sort of reclined car-like position, despite the fact that you were up in the air. What yeah. you're saying is it wasn't that. It was at the actual, you know, it was a more upright seating position. Your knees were pretty bent when you were driving.
Yeah, you were sitting taller up. But but that doesn't mean that the seats weren't comfy. God, they were lovely. They mm-hmm. were really nice and really comfy. I mean, because we through Britain's lovely roads, the journey down to Pembrokeshire took us nearly 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's not fun. Nobody was complaining of feeling uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was this space and the seats are great, you know, there was people frustrated it was taking so long, but not that they were uncomfortable. So yeah. The seats were great. They were nice. And there's heated front and back.
Okay. Did you use those much in August?
There was a couple of days where they were utilised, to be fair.
Really? Yes. I suppose you are still in the UK. Yeah, of course.
Yes. There was a couple of days when it was pretty grim, the weather. Mm. So, yes, we did.
So what about the dashboard and stuff and the instruments? Was that, you know, you said the seating position was comfortable. What was the rest of that sort of sitting in it experience like?
The dashboard's quite old school again. I mean, I'm going to keep using this phrase, and I'm sorry about that, but that's the best description for it. It's quite old school. It does what it says on the tin, that you're not being over endowed with toys to play with or anything like that. It is very much yes, there is a sat nav that works. Yeah. Now that I was able to work out how to get it to work. Once I could understand that, fine.
This was your second Mitsubishi, wasn't it? So you'd yes. had a bit of a run up by this point.
Yes, I had. Yeah. Thankfully. but once I could program it, which was the major problem, The routes it would take us on and the directions it gave was great. That was no okay. problem at all. That was really nice. And the display was clear and things like that. But it was just getting to that point was tricky if you didn't know.
Yeah.
It's very functional. You can see that it's a more utilitarian dashboard. And some of the displays were a bit last generation.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the readouts were red LED and a bit pixelated.
Ugh.
Which
that's almost nostalgic.
Yeah, that's what it was. It just went, oh, look at that! Isn't that nice? You know, it's not something that's in this over glossed, many colours. It's just the temperature's in this, you know, in this font, in this colour.
If it were any more old school, it would be displaying it on wax tablets. Is what it sounds like.
It's quite. Analog display.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, so we've got this far through talking about the interior, and you haven't told me about any curry hooks yet.
All the curry hooks.
All the curry hooks?
No, there is a lot of curry hooks. And they are nicely dotted throughout the massive boot.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some right behind the rear seats, and then there's some that's by the back door. So, you know, it's good use of the space and thinking about it. They've not just thrown one in and that's it. So, it was that from that point of view, and I did actually use them. I know you okay. scoff, but we did use them.
I know, well, if the boot's that big, then that's when you really do need to use them.
Yeah, yeah. Because there wasn't a cargo net, so I didn't want things flying around.
No, that makes a lot of sense. So we're focused on the inside, lots. Mm-hmm. You've said about the outside and that it's got lots of chromey bits. Anything else particularly worth mentioning about the outside?
Did I say it was big?
You've mentioned it once or twice, yeah.
Yeah, well, think a bit bigger than that.
Okay, okay.
But right. To be fair, it was... You didn't lose it in a car park.
No.
It had its plus points, definitely. But it was...
How easily did it...
It's going to sound a bit odd, this, but I thought it was imposing, but not in a mega-aggressive way.
Now, there's a difference between being imposing and being aggressive.
Yeah, it wasn't, you know, covered in bull bars and spotlights and things like that to try and frighten people. But it was, you know, but it was definitely there and you knew it. And only lorries gave way that we had to give way to.
Yeah,
we drove around. I mean, we went through some really narrow roads. We were on motorways and stuff like that. And people could see you, thankfully. And they got out your way. And
what was it like? What was it like, you know, on those narrow roads? Was it easy enough to tell where the extremities were? I mean, you said it's big, but...
Yeah, I didn't have a problem. Okay. One of the features it does have, which was great, was electric folding of the mirrors.
Oh.
And there was a few times I needed to do that because they were very narrow lanes and we were meeting tractors and stuff like that. So it was just a quick flick of the switch. They folded in. Everyone went past. Flick them out again because they're good, big wing mirrors that give you great visibility backwards.
It's just one of the things I love about driving old school four-wheel drives and stuff is good, proper-size wing mirrors.
Yeah, there's no silly tapering or anything like that. Here is a square of mirror so you can see. but if the cavernous boot and interior was not enough for you, this does come with roof bars, so you can stick stuff on top as well.
Right, canoes and other lifestyle stuff, yeah?
I suppose yes, you could if you wanted. If, you know, if you happen to have passengers and therefore they didn't fit inside.
Yeah. Yes. Without folding the rear seat.
Yeah.
So how did... Because this is... I mean, it is old school enough that it still has a side-hinged rear door, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. But that... this was a clever little thing that they had. And we all know that I like a little clever, thought-out thing. It had a plastic stop that you just... pushed into place, and it meant that the door didn't just swing shut in a bit of a breeze, because if it did, it's a big heavy door because it's got the spare tire on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to the point where you'd be bruised.
It was a full size, and it's a full size spare wheel. It's not like
I know
it's my Veracross or anything. Where
20 inch tire. So you know, this isn't. They're not mucking around.
No, not at all.
So that was a simple solution to a problem that was very apparent, but it was a great execution of an idea. I thought.
The first time you park on a hill, you're going to know all about that back door, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, we were in the Pembrokeshire in the Gower, and the when we're in the Gower, the wind just never stopped. So having it actually a couple of times, I could hear it push against the stop.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it would have, not being funny, but it would have seriously hurt the kids if it had shit on them.
Yeah, I'm too right.
I mean, smacking on me is one thing, but on them is a totally different, you know.
Yeah, different matter. You mentioned a tow bar earlier on. I guess that was an extra on that particular...
No, that came...
Really?
Came part of the... I've scoured specifications, and I cannot see how that is an optional extra. So, there's no extra cost for that. So,
oh right, okay.
And it's if you look sideways on, it sticks out a long way because it's going to get
got to clear that rear.
Beyond the tire and all that stuff. So you know, there is quite a big section of metal sticking out the back.
Yeah, it will be. Yeah.
But I didn't use it.
So. Okay. No, I'd imagine not. So, I mean, we've talked about the inside and the outside and stuff. So, what was it like when it was moving along? Then, I'm imagining that you were pitching into corners, power sliding, drifting.
Oh, I was looking for egg patches everywhere. Yes,
yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. No, I wasn't sitting there thinking this is a big 4x4. Drive sensibly. Because it's going to do certain things if you don't.
Yeah, like
there's a bit of body roll. Because we took the wiggly route through Wales down, which was, I've had it confirmed to me, was a mistake.
who by? Everyone.
People.
Right.
But it actually coped with the roads quite well.
Uh-huh.
You know, it isn't a sports car. It isn't an SUV, which is a raised up car these days. It's a proper 4x4. But the engine was great. There's so much pull from that engine.
Mm-hmm.
I, to be honest, I thought if I threw a lasso on the moon, I could probably tow that along. It just felt like it would never stop going.
Yeah.
It was from that point of view, it was wonderful, and you could see why they're popular with people who need to tow anything.
Yes, absolutely.
Just amazing. Amazing the power that it felt like. But it did okay, you know. I've got the car full of the family, so I'm not trying to rush anyway.
No.
I'm not trying to hurtle through corners and stuff. But you do have to appreciate that it is a bigger car, it is a heavier car, so you... when you're coming up to roundabouts and stuff like that, you slow down a bit earlier and things like that. So, you know, with that in mind, it did what I expected it to do.
Yeah, driving like a grown-up was just fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you adapted your driving to the vehicle, which is, you kind of have to do with those.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. And most of all, you actually enjoy driving it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's... it's been a long time since I got behind the wheel of a car that I was smiling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because it made massive noise, although the engine is a bit noisy and it's a bit gruff, but it's a big diesel. What do you expect? It did not surprise me. So there, and nobody complained. Nobody was sitting in the car going, it's a bit noisy, isn't it? Or anything like that. There was no complaints from passengers.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the driving position and because of the feeling of that the engine could do anything. So if I got into any situation, it would be able to help solve that situation. Not that I really went off road with it, but you know, even if I did that, I thought I could go anywhere with this. I could go.
Delusions of grandeur.
This. Well, yeah, but it made me feel like the king of the road.
Mm-hmm.
And the family loved it. I mean, they named it within half an hour of us being in the car.
Yeah, that's a sign of something, isn't it?
And that's from the kids saying we need to name the car. You know?
Yeah, that means it's got straight to the heart of those that, yeah, straight to the heart of absolutely everyone. We're just quickly though. You mentioned the sat nav and stuff before.
Mm-hmm.
Any other tech that you want to tell us about? Because I know that you're saying, other than heated seats, of course.
Yes, well, there was lots of connection ports.
Mm-hmm.
There was the glove box, the cubby box. I think there was one on the dashboard. They had them on the back of the cubby box for the rear passengers. There was a 12-volt charging point in the boot. Mm-hmm. You know, all your needs will be met. Plus, it had Bluetooth. So, you know, everything you could need. Was, you know, those were served for you.
Yeah.
And they worked okay. You know, it's not a shock to anyone who knows this, and other people have reported this before, but Mitsubishi's system isn't the greatest in the world. But I believe it's getting better as they roll out improvements.
Well, the new
the rest of the range.
The new Outlander has the facelifted Outlander has a major change to the entertainment system. I think we mentioned,
and that'll filter through. So
exactly,
but it did everything I needed it to do. I wasn't asking it to do anything it couldn't do. So
you said to me before, by the way, that it had rear view camera and stuff. We haven't mentioned that. It's probably just worth saying that with that big wheel on the back.
Absolutely. And the rear parking sensors were very cleverly positioned because they're in the rear tire cover.
All right.
Spare tire cover, sorry, as well as the bumpers.
Mm-hmm.
So you are getting the foot. Because my worry when I saw them in the bumpers, oh God, you know, but then there's another so many inches of tire.
Mm-hmm.
In this cover, I don't want to bang that. But then I as I walked around, I could see they were in there. And you could get really close to stuff. And the camera was great. The camera was a big, big help. And I know there's going to be people going, if you can't reverse then you shouldn't be driving it. Oh,
yeah.
I could reverse it. It made it so much easier to have this stuff. That's the difference. It made it much simpler because it is such a big vehicle. That, you know, why not use it if it's there and it's fitted? Why not use it?
Yeah, I agree totally. Yeah. Well, you're never going to get me. You're never going to get me disagreeing when it comes to throwing more useful tech at stuff. Anyway. So any sort of final verdict? Covered quite a few aspects
well,
there.
It's not an SUV. Okay, there's no pretense at car-like handling or any stuff like that. It's not that. So if that's what you're after, this is not the vehicle for you.
Buy an X6.
Yeah. So then we can mock you. and I said mock.
Yes.
If you want acres of room, perfect. It's really quite decently comfortable as well. I think because it is old school, I think that helps with it. That, you know, and there is a bit of body lean and stuff like that. And I think that adds to the comfort. And, you know, it's got proper tyres. You know, there's no low profile nonsense there.
20-inch rims.
I mean, this isn't for everyone. This car is not for everyone because there's things like the size is imposing. I know Mrs. Crack Windscreen would never drive it because it's too big for her.
You never know. If you let her do it once or twice, I think she'd probably fall in love with it.
She really enjoyed the being in it and the way that people would get out of your way and the way that people would... Well, and I don't mean dive into ditches, but I mean they would respect you and the vehicle. Whereas if you were in a normal car, they'd perhaps rush by a bit more. So... That was and the visibility. I mean, we've talked about it before when we reviewed SUVs that you can see the plus points of raised ride height gives you visibility. But in this one, you were higher again. I mean, you were properly high. I mean, there's other things like the running costs from tax and fuel bills. Although the fuel was better than I was anticipating, so you know, that wasn't too much of a shock for me. But it's not going to. You know, it's not 50 miles to the gallon. It's never going to be that. So, but if I lived in the countryside and I needed a 4x4
for towing and stuff,
just if I wanted a big 4x4.
Oh, right. Well, okay. So
not necessarily to tow, but if I just wanted a big 4x4, and I was looking to buy new, nothing, as I said before, nothing comes close on the price.
Yeah.
And I would happily then keep that for years. So that becomes... So any depreciation doesn't matter.
Yeah. And it should, you know, to Mitsubishi, it should last pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking every 12,000 miles it's serviced, so it's not every 6 months or anything.
No. Okay. Well, so yeah, that's pretty good, actually, for that kind of...
But if I had the cash, I'd go out and buy one tomorrow.
You really like this.
Oh, I loved this. I loved this to the point where I was looking on places where we could move so I wouldn't have to return it to Mitsubishi at the end of the 2 weeks.
I was getting messages about how much he liked this. I think it's probably about the only press car you've had so far where I kept getting messages saying, I really don't want to hand this back. I really like this. This is really good. I really like this.
It just felt so special, and like I say, it's not due to speed or anything like that, or how it looked. I just felt special in it, and it made me smile. And everybody in the family loved it. Everybody, nobody had any criticisms for it.
Cool. And I don't think you can say much higher than that. So that's a definite win for the Shogun. I'd say.
Yep.
Any other last requests?
Well, apart from I'd like one for 6 months. No. No, there isn't.
Well, I think we'll round up on at that point then. So, folks, don't forget that between now and next time, you can give us any feedback and share your thoughts with the show at Motoring Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, on Facebook, and on the contact page of motoringpodcast.com, the hub of all our activities. Don't forget to leave a review and rating on iTunes or however your podcast app lets you do such a thing. It really does matter. Andrew, now that you're suffering from Shogun withdrawal symptoms, what's the best way for folk to get in touch with you?
The best way would be via Twitter. If you search for Crack Windscreen, you will find me there. And if people want to get in touch with you, Alan, what's the best way?
Twitter again. I'm at AJP Bradley. Andrew will be attending the next meeting of wishing they were a Shogun owner anonymous. But until then, we'll be back soon. I've been Alan Bradley.
I've been Andrew Clues.
And safe motoring.